Life just got a little better, thanks to Merry Man Earth.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified health care provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Today we're going to be talking about something very exciting called bacteriophages. We're going to be interviewing Danny Curtin, who is the VP of Arthur Andrew Medical. But before we begin, I want to talk a little bit about how the phages differ from antibiotics. There's a lot of going on in the industry right now. Antibiotics are considered one of the 20th century's greatest scientific achievements, but decades of widespread antibiotic use has created superbugs that are not easily killed by current pharmaceuticals, and many of the scientists and doctors believe we have reached the end of the antibiotic era. In severe cases, physicians desperately searching for alternatives to save their patients' lives are starting to look at these bacteriophages. This has prompted excitement about an innovative approach developed more than 100 years ago, but overlooked with the advent of antibiotics. In fact, long before antibiotics were discovered, Eastern European doctors were successfully neutralizing bacteria infections with the phage therapy and a treatment aimed at selectively targeting and destroying harmful bacteria. With the rise in antibiotic-resistant bacteria, phage therapy has experienced a revival among the scientific community because of its effectiveness and safety profile. The potential for phage therapy is so great that just last year, the National Institutes of Health sponsored a symposium titled Bacteriophage Therapy, an Alternative Strategy to Combat Drug Resistance. Now, phage cocktails and phages individually have been shown to effectively treat common bacterial invaders, including staph, strep, and E. coli. Phage therapy has beneficially encourages growth of healthy bacteria in the gut microbiome, which can also reduce harmful bacteria. With so much scientific investigation into the multiple health benefits of balanced microbiome, phage therapy is rapidly emerging as a new venue to enhance the benefits of probiotics. And this is a little quip that I got out of a scientific magazine, and I'm really excited about this because I think it's going to be extremely beneficial for everyone. And we'll now be interviewing Danny Curtin. Well, we have today with us Danny Curtin, who's the VP of Arthur Andrew Medical. Danny, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, hey, how you doing? Danny Curtin, Arthur Andrew Medical. I've been working for this company for over 10 years now. And I'll tell you a quick story. I actually used to own my own personal training business. Long story short, I sold some supplements to a lot of my clients, and I got turned on to this company through some mutual friends, and over time started using the enzyme products. We're not talking about that today, but some of the products that we manufacture, I started using with my clients, and a lot of them were taking some really tough medications, some Celebrex and some really strong inflammatory type.
Danny, we're going to talk. I'm going to do some more shows with you, and we're going to talk about that. What is it? The AMD. What is the name of that product?
Syntol AMD, and then Neprenol AFD.
Neprenol AFD, which is your systemic enzyme blend, which is phenomenal. We saw quite a bit of that. And we'll be talking about that and the Syntol. What did you say? Syntol AMD?
Syntol.
Syntol.
Yeah, just call them by their single
name. Okay, Syntol.
Neprenol.
Makes
it easier.
The Syntol is really good for basically Candida and so forth. We can do a show on that too. So we'll hopefully all of you listeners will be able to listen to more of these shows here in the future, probably right after the first of the year. So I didn't mean to interrupt, so I'll let you get back to your, you know, explaining of what you were doing.
No problem. I can get into that story further, but the foundation of that story is I was actually a customer, a reseller of this company's products, because of how well they worked on my clientele, and most of them were, you know, 45, 50 and up.
Mature customers.
Mature customers.
Yeah.
And they started purchasing more training sessions from me because they were feeling so much better. And I was actually getting referrals based on the fact that I was going to, hey, you got to hire this guy because he's going to sell you this great product. And so when that started, that snowballed for a few years. And then eventually I really liked this company a lot, and I became friends with the owner, and I said, hey, but I think we should work something out. I'd really love to see if I can add something to your company. So anyhow, I became a sales rep and then eventually worked my way up, and now I'm the vice president. It's 10 years later, and we're doing better than ever. So,
well, Arthur Andrew Medical has always been kind of a premier, premium-type company. I always see, you know, you're in your literature, you have some phenomenal, very well put together, scientifically based. There's always pictures of people in lab
the lab suits and so forth, working in the labs, and I can just, you know, see all you working diligently on new formulations and new products that are coming out. But today we're going to talk about bacteriophages, and bacteria means the bacteria, and phage means eating. Now, bacteriophages have been around. Now, I did a little bit of research. Haven't they been around for almost 100 years? I think they were kind of starting to look at them before World War I, even back in 1918. Is there some further history on that that you want to share with us?
Well, that is correct. They've been around in terms of people knowing about them and using them. But obviously, they've been around since the beginning of time. If you're not familiar, a bacteriophage is... it's essentially a protein that can break down a single type of bacteria, and they're the most abundant organism on the planet. So wherever there is bacteria, there is an equal and opposite bacteriophage that's existing in that same environment.
Balance of nature.
And it's balancing so that the bacteria don't grow rapidly out of control.
Okay.
So if you think about that, any bacteria you can think of, even the most deadly types, there is a bacteriophage that can be cultured and can be turned into a supplement or a pharmaceutical if they wanted
to,
that could break down and destroy that bacteria.
So they're very safe. Now, real quickly, you know, we were talking about phage and phage. I think you said the biochemists call it phage. Phage, like page,
phage,
and it's cooler to say phage, though.
We
could be cool.
We'll call it bacteriophage.
Okay. Now, a bacteriophage is basically protein. It's a protein enveloping a DNA or RNA. So it's a harmless bacteria protein?
Essentially, well, if you really want to dig in, it's a virus.
You know what? Because in my training and all my studies, a virus is a DNA with a protein coat.
Yes.
So it's a virus for bacteria?
It's a virus for bacteria.
Oh, that makes so much sense to me. And it looks like a lunar module. When you look at it, the pictures, it looks like a lunar landing module.
Really does. Some people think it looks like a weird, you know, metallic spider or some kind of funny looking thing. But yeah, it's a virus.
And okay.
So I try
this is exciting. This is so exciting.
When I first start talking about what these are, I try to remind people if they can even remember back to when they first heard of probiotics being good for you, and bacteria was such a, you know, bad term. Bacteria means you're going to get sick. How
right.
can you take bacteria and feel better?
Feel better,
this
right.
is that same type of thing.
This how can you take a virus and feel better?
Exactly. And so this
great analogy.
This virus cannot do anything to any human cell. All it can do is connect to one individual bacteria. So,
it's like a stealth type of virus then. That is really cool.
You've got strep bacteria. The bacteriophage for strep cannot do anything to a human cell, nor could it do anything to, E. coli or Acidophilus or any other bacteria. It can only attach itself to that one specific bacteria.
Okay, because I was reading again. I did some research. I always do that before I get the chief educator, scientist, PhD, MD, or whatever on the radio. Today we have a VP with us, which means you're very important. I was given the little joke, you know, BS stands for bull S and MS stands for more S and PhD stands for piled higher and deeper. And I always tease my friends about that. They're like, well, I'm a PhD MD. And I'm like, yep, we got jokes about MDs too. So. Anyway, you seem to be very knowledgeable on this, but the thing is, you know, this is an exciting new product. It seems like it's very beneficial, but I was reading historically about it, and it's used in, like, cheese making to control Listeria, which is a deadly bacteria that can get into cheese. It's used for E. coli in meat and also the salmonella in basically food. So they use this and have been using it for, I'm assuming, for 100 years or more in food processing.
Correct. So it has. So one of the reasons that we're able to use our product and actually manufacture it and sell it as a supplement is because it has been used in the food supply for decades.
Right.
And so you really can't treat meat, for instance, if you have a bunch of meat that's already slaughtered, you can't really treat that with antibiotics effectively. It's
right.
More of, you know, that needs to be for something that's alive. So with the bacteriophage specific to E. coli in this sense, or salmonella if you're dealing with chicken, you can really keep those bacteria from overgrowing. It's completely harmless to the end user. And now a company like us can come along and say, hey, we'd like to make a supplement out of that. It's already being used. We submit our safety GRAS documents to the FDA.
That's generally recognized as safe.
We're the first, right. Yeah, now we're the first bacteriophage product on the market. Now, that being said, I told you earlier, you can culture a phage for any bacteria. So keep in mind, we could, it would not be legal, but we could make a phage specifically for strep or for some skin-eating disease or some off-the-wall bacteria that's super deadly.
Like C. diff or something like that?
Like C. diff.
Why don't they do that then? Why isn't that being done?
Well, because there's far more money to be made with antibiotics.
Oh, we're getting into the money thing. I always get into the money thing with everybody that I interview in the industry, even the scientists and the doctors and everything. And that's not, I don't know, it just doesn't seem right to me. So it's really not for the benefit of the health of the population. It's for the benefit of the pocketbooks of the people that are controlling the industries. Okay, well, you didn't hear it first here, but that's kind of what goes on. Wow. So
it has come full circle. Nothing. I know we're trying to, we might be running out of time soon, but because antibiotics have created such a problem, and mm-hmm. because there are so many antibiotic-resistant bacteria.
Yeah.
Now the pharmaceutical companies are beginning to use bacteriophages more and more, more isolated type cases.
Right.
They haven't developed a drug or anything, but because bacteriophages work so well and the efficacy is, you know, almost in the 100 percentile compared to a drug, which only has to be 50 or better, and
right.
who knows if that's even the case. For some of these really bad infections.
Now, so, can these be patented, or are they just naturally occurring? So, see, that would be another thing. The pharmaceuticals might not want to get into it because they can't be patented and they can't make a lot of money on it.
Right. So they can patent a certain process.
Yeah, but not the end product.
They can't patent the actual end product unless they made a synthetic version, which obviously they have not done. So.
Right. Okay, so we're talking about a virus for bacteria that's commonly around, that's used in our food supply. Now, do they put that on as a powder on the meat or in the cheese, or how is that added to the food? How do they?
It's sprayed on.
It's sprayed on. Okay. And we're going to. So we're going to eat it. We eat it. It's sprayed on our food. We eat it. So that's it's an ingredient that's put on our food that we're not told about.
Correct.
Whoa. That is interesting. This is very, very interesting. Now, I've heard of the bacteria phages in the past, and it was kind of like, you know, there wasn't a lot of science in it. So you've come a long way with it now. There's some other questions I want to ask you now. With this product, I'm seeing that, you know, it's kind of specific for certain bacteria. What have you put together in your formulation as far as, and I think the product's called Fluorophage, but what is in your formulation now? It's just, it's prebiotic bacteriophage. What is in there? I mean, kind of what are the bacteria that it's effective against?
So, Fluorophage, our product currently, now this will change as we move forward.
Right.
And I'll get into that as well. But currently it is only effective against E. coli.
Okay.
And
that's a big, big bug though. I mean, a lot of people have problems with that.
Many people have problems with it, but everyone is consuming it in far or in large amounts that they don't even realize.
Yeah.
So if
yeah.
you think about eating some raw food, say you eat a salad,
Sushi.
Yes, definitely. But if just having some vegetables,
yeah,
you're going to be consuming, on average, about a billion CFUs of E. coli.
Colony-forming units. Right.
Correct. So just like it's almost like you're taking your E. coli probiotic, even though it's not a probiotic.
Oh, my.
Just from eating that those vegetables, and that's completely normal. Your body can handle that. You need CFUs in the trillions before you actually got sick, so you're far off from that.
Okay.
However, most people, and actually all people, as you consume E. coli, a lot of it will begin to proliferate and do very well in the upper GI, in the upper part of the small intestine, where humans should not really have very much E. coli, if any. If you have any, it should be in the lower bowel. But once the E. coli takes hold, it will begin to proliferate and grow, and eventually it can become the dominant bacteria in the upper GI.
Oh, that could be very bad.
And that is where so many issues come from. I mean, any type of digestive distress that people complain of, you know, the Crohn's and the IBS and the...
Yeah, I was just wondering about Crohn's. So this would be very beneficial for that.
Very beneficial.
Okay.
And reason being is because since we're calling this a prebiotic because
right.
it allows our probiotics to grow, you know,
okay, now,
by leaps and bounds.
Let me jump in here to kind of explain sure. to our listeners. A prebiotic is food for the probiotic, and probiotics are good bacteria rather than the bad bacteria. And then an antibiotic is kind of what stands for against life, anti being against and biotic meaning life. And it kills the problem, I think, the big problem, we talked a little bit about this off the air, but the big problem with the antibiotics is they kill everything
everything.
Of some, there's, you know, the study about how it increases or could cause diabetes and also significantly increases your incidence of cancer. And a lot of the other side effects that you get with it, you know, you end up getting maybe candida overgrowth or some, you know, you end up getting, you know, Crohn's or whatever.
Right.
So the antibiotics, not only are they becoming less and less effective, we're learning that they're causing more and more side effects that we didn't realize except for after, you know, of use of almost, what, 70, 80 years, we're starting to learn that, oh, some of these weird diseases and illnesses may be
right.
from the overuse of the antibiotics now.
So it's not just diarrhea. It's,
yeah.
you know, the core of your digestive health is really the core of your overall health.
Yes, and again, we talk about dysbiosis, which is basically a condition where the microbiome, all that good bacteria, gets off and disrupted, is in imbalance. Dysbiosis meaning, you know, dysfunctional against life. But dysbiosis is associated with almost every known disease process, obesity, cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, allergic reactions, neurodegenerative disorders like Alzheimer's, and even mental health issues. We've talked about, you know, a happy gut is, you know, helps with depression and is a happy brain.
Correct. So I'll make this quick. But
okay.
Having a large amount of good bacteria, of probiotics in your digestive system,
mm-hmm.
not only keeps you feeling good and keeps your digestion nice and comfortable, but what people don't realize is that bacteria in your digestive system, they produce far more neurotransmitters than your brain.
Right.
So that being said, I mean, you can relate almost every psychological problem to, you know, bad digestive health.
Well, that kind of makes sense.
Have you
yeah.
ever seen somebody in a great mood that's constipated?
Or that has diarrhea, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But it's,
well, I'm in a good mood today because my bowels are messed up.
Right. But it's not just that. It's not because they're uncomfortable. I mean, it is
yeah.
because they're uncomfortable.
Or acid reflux, too. Yeah.
It's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
They don't have the serotonin, the norepinephrine, and the dopamine that they normally would have when everything is functioning the way that it should.
Well, you know what? I've also heard that, and there's scientific studies on this too, that imbalances in the intestinal microbiome kind of worsen with age, but they can be blamed for a lot of things like, you know, feeling unwell, having problems or reduced sleep, feeling foggy, groggy, depression, feeling kind of off. So when you're, and I don't really like the term gut, but when your digestive system, particularly your large and small intestines, when they don't have that good bacteria, which also we know help to produce certain vitamins, like, you know, vitamin K and so forth. So when the digestive system is not working properly, you don't get the nutrients. You can get a leaky gut. You can get a lot of bugs in your body. You can have all kinds of things that really go wrong. I really think the core of your immune system, the core of your well-being begins really with your digestive system. And, you know, I think a lot of you being, you know, into the nutrition end of it, you said you had a lot of good experience in that end of it. You know, what you eat is kind of what you are. And we eat we get a lot of garbage. We get a lot of bad things in our standard American diet, the SAD diet.
Sure.
And we need some help. Now, the bacteria,
phage
is extremely beneficial to help, you know, nutrients to get released. But how does it work? Okay, it's a virus. Does it blow the bacteria up kind of like silver hydrosol? What does it do to this bacteria, to the specific bad bacteria that it goes after, in our instance, E. coli?
Okay, so we said before, you had explained what probiotics were, what prebiotics are, what antibiotics are.
Right.
Well, what we're trying to do, anybody that takes a probiotic, good bacteria, is trying to tip the scales or tip the balance of good bacteria in their digestive system in favor of the good guys.
Okay.
They want more good than bad.
Right.
And
now,
so you take probiotics,
yes,
and you're trying to populate the good bacteria.
Kind of like seeding, you putting seed on your lawn. So, you know, you take the probiotics, you put all this seed out on your lawn, but your lawn has a lot of weeds in it.
Correct.
Is this like a weed killer?
Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of pathogens and other bacteria that you don't want in
right.
your digestive system.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all fighting for nutrients. They're fighting for space.
Well,
space is a huge thing.
And they do a lot of interesting things, too, because the genome for the bacteria is just millions. It's unbelievable that you have in your digestive system. You kind of have what we call a gut friend or a gut buddy. That really helps with, you know, your overall immune system. But the thing is it can rapidly change. But the bacteria, people don't realize, bacteria puts out what we call bacteriocins, which
yeah.
can attack you, can attack your body. Or if it's your good friendly, your gut buddy, your gut friend, it can put out bacteriocins that will kill the bad guys. But sometimes
right.
they're so beaten down and the bad guys are putting out all these bacteriocins, trying to shut your body down, trying to shut your gut friend down. And this seems like a key to me in what we would call like a catalyst or a synergist or
right.
a starting point or an analogy of, you know, you're putting all this good grass on your lawn and you've got you're going to put this weed killer down. And that's
exactly.
probably a bad analogy because weed killers aren't great. But this is something
when your digestive system and the good bacteria are so beaten down,
yes.
there's only so much you can do by taking more and more good bacteria or probiotics.
Right.
So what we've done is we've developed Florophage, and the greatest thing about this product is it will completely annihilate E. coli in the upper GI.
Wow.
And it does this. It recognizes the E. coli. It's able to attach to that. So the bacteriophages are smaller than the bacteria.
Right.
They're able to attach to the one specific bacteria, which is E. coli in this case, and they actually make the bacteria explode.
Okay.
In a nutshell, they destroy it, and that bacteria explodes. And when that happens, you're left with nutrients, because the E. coli, once it's dead, is nutritive to the rest of the organism's
sure.
digestive system.
Sure.
At the same time, that whole process of actually killing off that bad bacteria or that E. coli releases more bacteriophage. So.
Oh, just now, like a virus, because it goes in and changes the DNA and then starts trying to make, and that's what viruses do. They want to stay
exactly
alive
right.
and they want to proliferate or make more babies.
Exactly right. So now we are not only doing away with the bad bacteria or the most abundant particular bacteria in your upper GI, but we're supplying nutrients. So you explained a prebiotic before. Prebiotics are food for bacteria.
Well, here's a bunch of food.
Now your good bacteria is feeding on the old bacteria, on the bad bacteria. But what's even better and what makes this work so well is that not only are we providing food, but because we're removing the bad bacteria, now we're creating all this free space, especially along And so that's key here. When you free up space, now the good bacteria that's either indigenous or that you're taking in a supplement will be able to proliferate far better than ever before.
Yeah, the lawn will just grow right in over where the dead weeds, it'll just take over, and you've got a beautiful lawn when you're done.
Exactly. So we're not just sprinkling seeds on the weeds. We're ripping those
eliminating
weeds out.
Right.
And then turning those weeds into fertilizer.
Oh, this is so exciting. Yeah, and then turning it into fertilizer. Hey, we're just about out of time here. Can this product be taken now? I'm kind of thinking, okay, you're going to take, and I've taken it, and I had no side effects, and I was kind of having, I have a little bit of a bowel problem after my illness, but it's, my bowels are so lined out now, it's phenomenal. But the thing is can this be taken along with basically any other drug or any other supplement? What's the deal with that? It can't.
There isn't. No contraindication.
Okay.
It's extremely easy to take. You can.
Well, the pills.
Just one a day.
Yeah, and they're teeny, teeny, tiny. So those people out there, the listeners that hate the big horse pills, this is a little teeny, tiny pill. Now, you could theoretically probably open it up and put it in your smoothie or something like that, too?
Most definitely.
All right.
It's not affected by heat or by cold or by anything.
Oh, how awesome.
I mean, it's just. It's really easy. Throw it. You can keep it in your purse. You can keep it.
Right.
You know, throw a couple
anywhere.
In your pocket. The main thing is that you should know is that this will not only improve the amount of good bacteria in your digestive system, but it will also make any probiotic product, on average, about 24 times more potent.
Right. Right. Well, I was reading like into the millions on some of these things as far as. How and that's what I couldn't believe. Hey, you know what? We are out of time. This is wonderful. I'm going to have you back on again. We're going to talk a little bit more about this in the future, and we're also going to talk about some of your other products because this could be used in conjunction with the Sintrol, which is
Sintrol,
for
Neprinol,
right.
Vivigest.
We'll talk about
together.
That. All right, Danny. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for all your information, and we'll be talking soon.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.